21st Century Radio is sponsored by Hieronymus & Company. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for award-winning 21st Century Radio. Here's your host, Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
First time I saw that nowhere man, that nobody, I knew he was somebody.
I'd ask my friends to come and see you. In an octopus's garden in the shade.
Welcome back to 21st Century Radio. I'm Dr. Bob Hieronymus. Our executive producer and research assistant is Laura Kortner. Our engineer is Noah Dankner. Just like 99% of our planet, I've enjoyed the music of the Beatles very much, especially Ringo Starr's Yellow Submarine and The Octopus's Garden. It took me over 30 years to write the definitive history of the Beatles' animated Yellow Submarine. That's called Inside the Yellow Submarine, The Making of the Beatles' Animated Classic. And I enjoyed meeting and interviewing over 40 of the film's co-creators, especially because I'm an artist. Well, in late 2013, Aladdin Publishers under Simon & Schuster released a book and CD of The Octopus's Garden, written by its author, Ringo Starr, and illustrated by an extraordinarily talented artist, Ben Court, who is joining us for this segment of 21st Century Radio. Ben Court is the illustrator of the phenomenally successful Aliens Love Underpants. Well, gosh, I got to get a copy of that. That's Simon & Schuster. And many other popular books, including The Shark in the Dark from for Macmillan and Muddle Jungle. Okay, now welcome to 21st Century Radio, Ben, and congratulations on your great success in being part of a duo who have a great interest in having children read and sing because, in my opinion, when they learn to read and sing, they'll enjoy the world around them much, much, much more. And we'll talk about some of your other books later after we discover how you became such a successful artist and how you and Ringo got together on this delightful project.
What a lovely introduction, Bob, and it's a pleasure to talk to you.
That's ditto, ditto. Now, when did you discover you wanted to be an artist? And how did you develop the talent that has made you such a success?
I came from an artistic background. My father was an artist. He'd also, in fact, the first picture book I can remember seeing as a child was a book my mother and father had both done together. My dad did the artwork and my mother wrote it. Mm. That was called Little Oleg. And that came out, I think I was about 1 year old when it came out. So obviously, my dad being an artist, I was surrounded by paintings, and I was always watching him draw as an early, from sort of baby onwards, I suppose. So I think it was pretty likely I was going to become an artist in some form of the arts. But I tended to prefer doing pictures based on words, which is obviously what an illustrator does. So I gradually became an illustrator, I suppose, because of my father and the influence of being around so much artwork. In fact, my brother and sister both went to art college as well, so it's definitely in the family.
Well, I'll say it's almost, you could almost say back in the old days, we'd say it must have been your karma.
I think it was.
That you chose to come into a family that you thought you could obviously grow and develop in. Now, do you have a studio, and what do you surround yourself with that inspires you when you're working?
I do have a studio. I now, when we moved into the house I'm in now, we had a very large loft. Obviously up in the loft, but it hadn't been used, and so we had it converted into my studio. So I'm at the top of the house, and I'm surrounded by all the things I really like comic book art. So, I mean, my favorite artist is Jack Kirby, an American
Kirby. Oh, he's something, isn't he? Wow.
Absolutely love his work.
Yeah.
So I've got one of his pictures up on the wall. It's not an original, unfortunately. It's a poster of his. And then I also like 1950s and 60s robots, so I've got some of those on bookshelves. I've got a robot lamp, and mainly, I suppose, the biggest thing in my studio would be not my books, but children's books and just general reference books. So I've got a huge amount of books in my studio for reference and just inspiration.
Do you listen to music when you work? And if so, what kind of music might you like better than others?
Well, that's funny, because actually, when I was thinking about doing this book, I realise I tend to go through a stage when I'm doing a book, sometimes I might listen to a lot of talk radio, but in the last few years I tend to go for a stage where I'll listen to one person's music the whole way through a book. So if I'm doing a picture book, it can take anywhere between 6 and 8 months. I quite often just listen to one artist. So funnily enough, there was, I think one of the books was recently, I was listening to Led Zeppelin the whole way through.
Whoa.
Before that, it was Frank Sinatra. So I was buying virtually every Frank Sinatra record I could get. At the moment, I'm going for a rockabilly phase for some reason. So some of the artwork, people have got great big quiffs like Elvis would have had in the 50s. So It tends to have a sort of influence on my artwork as well. But I'm definitely going for a rock and roll rockabilly stage at the moment. But I'd say music's massively important.
Yeah, I agree with you, boy. I usually choose music that has no words because I get hung up on the words. I don't need to talk about me here. Sorry. Now, how did the project of the book and CD of Octopus's Garden come about? Did Ringo Starr see your other great work and said, "Look, he's the guy. He's the guy I want to work with." I love those titles: Aliens, Love Underpants, The Shark in the Dark, Muddled Jungle, Campbell Books, So how did that happen?
Well, the first I heard about it was I had an email, or in fact, no, it was a phone call from my publishers, Simon Schuster, and they were saying, would I like to illustrate Octopus's Garden, which was obviously, yes, I would. I think Ringo, he knew my work, funnily enough, it was the Aliens Love Underpants and Dinosaurs Love Underpants. His grandchildren had the books, and I think they liked them, and he knew my work via his grandchildren. Mm-hmm. So that sort of made it easier that I knew that he like my style, and he's sort of aware of the kind of work I do.
Mm-hmm, no wonder. Yeah. Well, how did you communicate with him? Did you ever talk to him in person about this,
I met him in London with his wife at his place. By this stage, because I was definitely going to be doing the work, I'd roughed out the whole of the book in like pencil drawing. So I had the whole book as you see the finished book now. He would have seen the black and white version of that. We had a meeting in London, and I took all my roughs to show him, and that was what was sort of stressful, because I was quite a tight deadline at this point, and I was thinking, if he doesn't like what I've done, I'm not quite sure how I'm going to rework it. So we went to this meeting, and he absolutely loved it, and he got all the sort of little jokes I put in, and he liked the way I'd sort of got the idea of the child beginning dreaming, or you're not quite sure how he's imagining all these fish and going into the underwater world. But he really liked what I did, so once he'd seen it and gave it the okay, that was great for me, because I could then go ahead and do the finished sort of painted artwork.
Well, one of the things I also enjoyed learning is the story behind how Ringo was inspired to write Octopus's Garden. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, actually, he mentioned that at the time. He was on Peter Sellers' boat. I think it was in Sardinia or something like that in 1968, and he was having lunch there, and it was squid and chips or something like that.
and
he was talking to the captain, and the captain mentioned how octopuses pick up stones and little shiny objects on the seabed, and they make these little gardens. Now, I suppose they're not like a garden like we imagine, but it's this idea they're almost like little magpies collecting, you know, bright objects and making their own little gardens. So that was his inspiration for the idea.
Well, yeah, and I think you did that really well, because that's what happens. You got different types of gardens in here. Oh, I'm jumping ahead here. Now, another great dimension of this book is Octopus's Garden is the CD that comes with it. Tell us about what's on it and how your drawings interact with the CD.
Well, that's really nice, actually, because, I mean, I have done books in the past where you have a CD and someone else narrates the story, but I've never had the actual author narrating the story. So you get the CD where you have a reworked version of Octopus's Garden. It's not the Beatles version, it's Ringo's new version. But also he reads the story as well. So as you're reading the book, or as he's reading the book rather, you get a little, from what I can remember, it's like a little bell rings as you get to the finish of that page, and you turn the page and he carries on reading, you know, each verse. So he'll read it along to you as you're turning the page, which is a nice little idea, I think, to have him actually doing it.
Mm-hmm. I'll say, because you can feel the warmth of his voice and the warmth of the book work together. It's really, you know, this book works on many different levels, and because of my studies in humanistic and transpersonal psychology, it's this kind of blending together of the two art forms, the spoken word and the drawing, that when they come together, they are really, they support one another.
That is so true, because with most picture books, they break down what we call spreads. So a spread will be two pages. And this book is 12 double-page spreads. And that's because the lyrics break down, they actually work in 12 blocks of perhaps two lines. Sometimes it's more than two lines. But that is pretty much how you would do a standard picture book in a 12-spread format. So it's almost like the text or the lyrics were written as a text as well as a song, which is really unusual, because I was expecting when they first said it, you may have a problem with how you're going to split this, because you obviously can't split the rhyme between two spreads. It wouldn't work. You've got to be able to read each line together.
Right.
But it worked absolutely perfectly. Whereas I don't think a lot of other lyrics, when I was thinking about this since I've done this book, a lot of other lyrics might sound great, but you couldn't really illustrate them. They wouldn't break down the correct way. Mm-hmm. So it was absolutely perfect for it.
Well, like the Yellow Submarine animated film, your illustrations are brilliantly colored. So much is going on each page. Children, well, they'll be actually engaged visually while learning to read, while listening to the creator himself, Ringo Starr. Now, that's a great learning process, one that they're never going to forget. That has real entertainment value. I'm sorry if I get too excited about this.
But, great. I'm glad you're enthusiastic about it.
Well, I'll rein myself in soon. But you know, the thing is that this is the kind of thing which ultimately is a method by which you can engage children in a much deeper, multi-leveled meaning, so that they have an experience that is, in my opinion, elevates their awareness and consciousness. I don't think they're going to think that.
No, I think you're right. I think it definitely does. I think it is a lovely combination.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And you got to have, you know, pardon my saying this, but you got to have two geniuses to do that. You have the guy that writes like a genius, and the guy that draws like one. And this kind of balance, I'm so glad that he must have seen your work earlier on, because I don't think he could have got a better artist doing this work. And I know a lot of artists, I really do, and I know a lot that would have loved to have done this, but I don't think they could have carried it off this well. Now, let's see. Tell us about some of your other books, like Shark in the Dark or Aliens Love Panta Claus.
Well, I would say, I mean, particularly in Britain, the book I'd be most well known for at the moment would be definitely Aliens Love Underpants, which I did, I think it was 2007 that came out. Mm-hmm. It's a really crazy story about aliens coming down to Earth just to steal people's underpants, and that's pretty much the whole story. You never really see them. It's a bit like having leprechauns or fairies in your garden. You may see the end result, but you don't actually see them doing it. So they'll be stealing pants off the washing line or coming into people's bedrooms and putting their pants on and running around.
Oh.
And then they go back to their planet, and no one's ever actually seen them. But it was a lovely book to illustrate. It was just one of those texts when I first got it, I just knew straight away I was going to have fun with it, which is the main thing for me. I always want to enjoy a book because I know I'm going to spend a long time on it.
Yeah.
And it was such an unusual story and an idea that I just knew I'd love being involved with it.
Well, I can understand why. That must have been a very warm internal experience. But because, as you know, all artists, when you're in your studio, you got the right music, you know what your job is, and you sit there, and you work for hours, you know, I work 10, 12 hours at a time. And by the time you get to the third or fourth hour, you feel all this warmth coming up into your spine, into your head. I know a lot of people think I'm exaggerating, but this is...
No, it's true. It has to be like that, because when I was doing the Ringo book, towards the end, I was doing 18-hour days. And I think you'd have to be absolutely... You've got to really enjoy it, because if you didn't, that's a lot of time just sitting down painting.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
I just think I'm so lucky doing it. You know, you're just sitting there thinking, I'm getting paid to do this. It's great. It doesn't feel like a job. Well, it isn't a job. It's a vocation. I think you have to love it. Otherwise, I think it would show in your artwork.
It does.
Because it is a lot of work. And it can be quite a lonely existence when you're working for hours into the night on your own. But I absolutely love it.
Well, so do I. The boy, that time between about 1:30 to 3 to 4 a.m., whoa.
Yeah.
That's so silent, and all of a sudden these ideas just flash through you.
Exactly
and they work through your hand, because your hand almost is connected to your mind. I'm so glad to be able to talk to you about this, because there are many other people that, when I've mentioned this possibility that artists do enter other dimensions as they work, say, "Are you kidding me? No, I'm not.
You definitely do, because I've had that before where I'm working and then the phone will ring and I sort of snap out of it. And to come back and start again, it's almost like you've got to almost like meditating. You're sort of so lost in what you're doing.
Yes.
You sort of switch off, and then the phone comes, and you think, "Oh right, I've got to stop." And then you come back into reality again. Because I notice when I'm painting, I'm often almost like acting the expression of the character I'm painting, or I'm imagining myself in that. It's almost like I'm in and acting the role of the character I'm painting, or whatever. So you definitely do. I'm not quite sure what I'm going through when I'm doing it, but it is a strange sort of process at times.
Mm-hmm. It's a non-judgmental, open. A lot like what's that kind of love that is unconditional?
Yeah, like children's love for you.
Yes, yes.
Or a pet, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah, and that, you know, you are able to replicate that kind of a feeling, and Ringo is just like that. You know, I mean,
yeah.
So that's why this is one of those things that work together so well. That when I first saw the cover of the book, and I said, I wonder if this is really going to be a real one, or is this going to be, because some of the things that have been produced by Apple in the past, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, could have done a little bit better, but this one struck gold. No, it struck platinum. Because of the ability to the inner function. I just hope that Ringo really realizes that this is a masterpiece of animation, drawing, and music, and learning that will help lay the foundation. We need this kind of a foundation in America today, really. Because are out of touch with their spiritual being. Our emphasis is almost on things, money, power, control.
I think that was what was nice about this story, because it isn't about, it's about kids having fun. I mean, I made a point when I had the kids all dressing the octopus up in all the jewellery, apart from the crown on the little girl, I didn't want them being bothered by it. They were just playing with shells, like little boys making the heart out of shells.
Mm-hmm.
It was like they weren't interested in the sort of gold and all the wealth. Like, you know, people would see that and they'd want to grab as much as possible and go back up to the surface. They were just playing with it and dressing the octopus up. And it was that idea that they're not bothered about all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's right.
And I think it's such a sort of positive, it is a lovely positive message, that story. It is very sort of child-friendly, and it's just a nice thing. When I was doing it, I suppose I felt like I was part of that nice little world for, 6 months. It was just really nice to be doing it.
Yeah, well, you were. You put, forgive me for saying this, you put your soul in here.
Yeah,
and
it's a
beautiful soul there to be able to see this kind of communication. And I know I'm embarrassing you, and I don't mean to, but very few times do artists really get the kind of credit they deserve for the more important things they do in this kind of work, because unfortunately, when other people who don't know the problems of this kind of creation, when they breeze through a book and they don't pay attention to it, then it's a lost opportunity for the world to understand what art can do, what colors can do, how they can affect, how they bring people together, how children already know that we're one people on one planet.
Yeah.
And that's what Ringo's work does. That's what your drawings do. And that's the hopeful future of our planet, that we are one people. But that's what good and great stuff is all about. Because we got so much opposition and everything else. What are you working on now? You must be illustrating another book.
I'm doing, funny enough, I'm doing Monsters Love Underpants at the moment. Which is probably my favourite, I think visually particularly, it's my favourite of all of them, just because the things I enjoy most are fantasy-based subjects. So I do great big hairy monsters and horns with funny flowery pants and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it's
yes.
A lot of fun, so... That'd be my next book. I hope that'll be finished by, well, it should be out this year if I get the whole lot finished. But
I'm
doing it at the moment.
Well, good luck on that, because they're always quite challenging. Now, we have an advanced audience. and I'm going to hold up this centerfold of the book for our listeners to see. See what I mean by what I see? Follow that wave of lines, how the shells work in with the fish and how the colors, and take a look at the little face there of the boy swimming towards the octopus, and see how the octopus's face mirrors his face. I mean, other people may think that this is just, it's just by chance. But now that I've talked with Ben Court, I know that this being, Ben Court, understands the unity of consciousness and how we can make ourselves better people. Ben, thank you very much for joining us on 21st Century Radio. It's been more than a pleasure. I'm certain that our listeners out there who get a copy of this book, and guess what? I'll tell you what, here's my deal for you guys out there. And this is not just from this state, but across the planet. Here's the deal. If you buy a copy of this book by Ben Court called The Octopus's Garden, and my goodness, Ringo Starr, there's music in there, you get a copy of this book. And all you got to do is prove it to us with a receipt. You can have any book that I've ever written dealing with the Yellow Submarine, the Founding Fathers Secret Society, America's symbolism, history, anything, any of the things that I've written, or people that we've interviewed, and we'll give it to you for free. We'll even mail it to you for free. That's how important I believe this book is, because it's really multidimensional. You may not look at it and think that right away, but as it soaks in, as you experience what Ben and Ringo did put together, it becomes in itself a whole myth. There's a mythology that's involved in it that Joseph Campbell and others would say, hey, that is spot on. That is what we need for our planet at this time. Congratulations, Ben. This has been a very fine experience for me.
Well, thank you very much. That was a really lovely interview. Thank you.
Well, friends, you can find links to buy Ben Court's books on the front page of 21stCenturyRadio.com. And coming up next, we have Catherine Chilgen with an investigative report on why the true identity of Shakespeare has been suppressed. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.